Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so great to have you with us here this Sunday morning, and it's good to be back with you. It's good to be back here in the United States. We're a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God, and we hope that something that we sing or pray or say together this morning inspires you in the faith. And I just wanted to say we are really excited that there was a women's retreat this weekend, and 43 women were down at Adrian, Michigan, at a retreat center, and they will be back hopefully this afternoon. So we're praying for their safe travel and safe arrival back here, and we pray that they've had a wonderful retreat as they gather down in Adrian, Michigan. As you were walked in the door, I want to encourage you to take a moment to fill out the connection card. Let us know that you're here, and if there's any ministries on the backside of the card that are moving to you that you'd like to be a part of, we encourage you to check those boxes, and somebody from the church will be in touch with you to invite you to participate and engage in those ministries as well. We're in the midst of a sermon series, Made for Mission. We're talking about how here in the United Methodist Church, here in our church, here we are literally made to create it with a purpose to go out into the world to serve Jesus in all the ways that we feel called to do that. And we hope that this sermon series pushes you in that direction. There should be a yellow prayer card in the pew back in front of you. If you wouldn't mind just taking a moment to fill that out, we'd feel so honored to pray alongside you. If it's something that's going on in your life or in the life of your family or in the life of a friend, if you take a moment to fill that out, we'd be so humbled to be praying alongside you about anything that's going on in your life or perhaps somebody that you know. I want to share with you a couple of quick announcements on May 10th, which is coming right up at 6:30 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. We're going to have a wonderful play. It's about MLK's life. It's called the MLK Crusader Play, May 10th, 6:30 p.m. It's a free event for everyone in the community. The whole community has been invited. They've been putting up flyers all throughout this town, and we hope to have a good attendance for that. It's a one-man play, but we promise it'll be very inspirational and touching, so we hope you'll join us for that. There's an all-church conference on April 30th at 6 p.m. The purpose of that conference is to vote on the leadership structure of our church. Everybody who's a member of our church is entitled to a vote. You're welcome to come. The vote will take place in the community room. If you have any questions about the new leadership structure or any information about it, feel free to come see me. You can call me. You can email me. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have about it. But it's a vote to change leadership structures from our current structure into a new, hopefully more nimble and efficient system. Finally, there's going to be a breakfast next week, April 30th from 10 to 12. So if you're interested in just not worrying about breakfast, join us downstairs in the fellowship hall after the first service or after the 11 o'clock service. We will invite you, feed you breakfast for a donation to our Readers to Leaders campaign. So we hope to be able to provide breakfast for you next week. With that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us as we sing together and praise God in this place.
One, two, three, four.
All right, here we go. Wonderful, so wonderful.
Wonderful, so wonderful. Your pure, unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful. my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you.
Let's do that again.
You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love, 'cause nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Oh, beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing.
Amen. Welcome to worship, everybody. Water you turned into wine.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Water, you turned into wine.
Water, you turned into wine. And opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God.
Amen.
I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for you being the one that turned water into wine, for you being the one that is an awesome healer, for you being the one that knows us by name and can count every hair on our heads, for you being the one that is always with us, even in times of great darkness and trouble. For you, the one that loved us from the moment that we drew our first breath, and will love us until we draw our last. And God, as we worship you this day, help us to search deep within ourselves to find the great love that we have for you as well. Allow us to draw closer to your Son, Jesus Christ, as we gather here this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night.
Thank you so much. I invite you to be seated. And as we take a moment to sit down, I want to dismiss our kids to Sunday school class. If you're interested in going to Sunday school, I invite you to meet up with our teachers who will be in the back of the sanctuary, and then we'll invite you to come back into the church a little bit later on in the service as we move through prayer time. I want to share with you a scripture passage from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. I invite you to hear these words from this epistle letter. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for God's people, for which we say, thanks be to God. Amen. I wanted to just take a moment. Some of you may have been aware that over the last week I had an opportunity to travel to Liberia, and then I got to come back, and I have to admit there's a part of me that's still like at about 3 o'clock, which is 9 o'clock Liberian time, like I just crash, you know, it's just like, and then I've been waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and some of you who are like in the medical field, you're like, ah, that's nothing, or you know, maybe you're just an early riser. I am not. So I am waking up at an irregular schedule at this moment. But I had this great opportunity to go to Liberia to follow up on some of the experiences, some of the mission partnerships that our church has cultivated over 20 years. And so I just wanted to take a moment as sort of like part of the message, we're made for mission, but also because folks have been asking, you know, how was your trip? How was your trip? Tell me about it. And so I just wanted to share a little bit of the experiences that I had when I was over there, because these folks, they're United Methodist ministries and organizations, and so it's sort of a way that we remain connected with our brothers and sisters overseas who are part of our church. And so this picture is of me and at the Bishop Judith Craig Children's Orphanage. Bishop Judy Craig was a bishop in the Michigan Conference, actually it was the Detroit and West Michigan Conference at the time, about 20 years ago. And when she retired, the Detroit Annual Conference took up a big offering to build all of these cottages for children who were orphaned as a result of the Liberian Civil War, which took place during the late 90s and early 2000s. There were actually two separate conflict times, but many of the kids who were the first residents of this orphanage were there as a direct result of that conflict. Terrible time in Liberian history that destroyed so much of their infrastructure, their economy, and their way of life. But these kids, some of them were orphaned because of the Ebola crisis. If you remember, about 5 years ago, there was a major Ebola crisis in West Africa where if you went to the hospitals, even in Michigan, they would say, please report if you've been to Liberia or Sierra Leone, some of the countries in West Africa that were affected by the Ebola crisis. And other students in the orphanage were wards of the state. So as a result of either abuse or neglect from parents in country, they would get referred to the orphanage. And all of these kids are children that grew up or were connected to United Methodist churches across Liberia. So I had a chance to go here and visit. There's 52, 53 kids that live in the orphanage, and the age range is anywhere from like 4 to 18. And these children live in the cottages that were built by people in the Michigan Conference. And so when I went over there, I got a chance to visit with them and share with them and hear about their stories, hear about what they're learning in the classroom, that the school is right behind the orphanage that has been built, and it's got a wonderful computer lab, which is very rare in Liberia. So these kids have an amazing opportunity. But I want to let you know, in a couple of weeks, we go to annual conference in the Michigan area, and delegates from all across the state of Michigan gather to take an offering, and half of that offering goes to the orphanage. That's great. It's wonderful. The bad news is that at the end of the fiscal year for them, which basically starts when the Michigan Conference takes their offering, it basically ends at this point. And so when I came there, they were talking about the children, right, who have already been through so much, losing their parents in some sort of conflict or disease. What they shared with me is that they were struggling to provide food for the kids, and they were struggling to pay the staff of the orphanage. And I'm really grateful that annual conference is not too far away, because we'll be reboosting the assets of the orphanage. Let's go to the next slide. The next thing that we did is we went to a lot of the water projects that have been taking place across the country. A couple of weeks ago during Lent, I share with you that in Liberia, it's not uncommon for children and women to walk sometimes miles with buckets on their head to get, you know, some water to drink or cook or wash their clothes with. And this is what's called a shallow well. So basically about 10 to 15 feet down is the water table, and kids will lower a bucket into the water and draw it up. But the issue is, this is what's called an uncapped well, which means animals can stumble upon this trying to get water themselves. A squirrel or something like that could fall into the well and contaminate it because it's not capped. In addition to that, it takes an enormous amount of time every day for people to walk with these buckets on their head. And you can see a picture of this young man who's walking with a bucket on his head. Like I said, it's mostly the women and children that do this, not just once, but sometimes 3 to 4 times every single day, this walk for water, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes up to 30 minutes each way to get water. So let's cut to the next slide. And the next slide in this deck, I believe, is a photo of a well. Yes, so this well was one of the high points of my entire trip, because the first time I went to Liberia, I had a very small part in digging this well. And the reason why I say that is Lindsay made me promise before I left on my first trip to Liberia that I would not climb down into the well to dig it myself, which I admit was a mild temptation of mine. So Lindsay told me you can stay on the surface and dig with a shovel. So that's what I did. 7 years ago, we went and dug this well. And it just so happened as we pulled up into the village, the entire village basically starts to pour out because it's not common that a vehicle would pull into this particular area. And so the chief of the town, who's responsible for kind of caring and maintaining the well, was one of the first people to show up on the scene. And so I was talking with him and I said, "How is the water in this well? Like, is it okay? Is it okay to drink?" And he said, "Oh yeah, man, the whole village, people walk for miles to get access to this clean and safe drinking water that's located at this well." And I said, "Has it broken down?" And he said, "No, for 7 years, like, we've been getting water out of this well, and we've had minor repairs, little valves, rubber, you know, stoppers, and various parts of the mechanics of the well that we've taken up offerings within our village. And everyone in the village values this water so much that they contribute to make sure that it's been working and operational for 7 years." So that's what brought me so much joy. And then the other thing is, about a 15-minute walk from this location was where the town used to get their water from. So people would walk to this place that looked not too dissimilar from that slide that I showed you a couple slides ago, just like a sewer pipe going into the ground, except this was even more sort of rudimentary. It was just almost like a puddle with a little bit of a basin that you could draw water from. And I asked him, I said, "Is there still a shallow well on the other side of town?" And he said, no. Right after, you know, this well was dug, we repurposed that entire land for agricultural development, and now we grow crops there that feed folks in the village year-round, and we draw water from this water source. And I thought to myself, thank God. We actually, you know, came to provide clean and safe drinking water, and it was amazing to come back 6.5, 7 years later to see that the well was actually doing what it was intended to do. We'll cut to the next slide. And then this is a mission that was near and dear to our hearts here at this church. Some of you may be aware that sort of down in the classrooms of our church, every single week there's a group of women that get together to sew through a ministry. Why can't I think of the name all of a sudden? Days for Girls. So that was like a jet lag brain lapse there. Days for Girls. So they are downstairs sewing these patches that are pads for girls so that they can go to school while they're menstruating. And so while we were at the orphanage, this photo is at the orphanage, I asked one of the women who was hosting us if they wouldn't mind doing a training for the girls and the rest of us guys, the boys from the orphanage and myself and some other individuals would stay over in the other part of the orphanage as we distributed those, because our ministry, Days for Girls, filled up a suitcase with these home hygiene kits and said, "Pastor John, will you please like take these to Liberia, because we want you to distribute them, and you know, hopefully they'll be of some need to the girls that are going to school there." So I took them with me, and all of a sudden, as I was sitting with all the boys in the orphanage, there was just this like loud uproar of excitement, and I didn't necessarily know what was going on. I kind of thought to myself, like, I hope everything's okay. Like, I hope we haven't caused a great disturbance or embarrassment or whatever. And one of my hosts, one of my friends in Liberia, her name is Ruth, who is doing the training, came back over and told me how incredibly grateful and thankful these girls were, because what this meant for them is to have these sanitary pads, it meant that they wouldn't have to miss up to a whole week of school, right? Like that they would be able to stay in class and not have to miss any time in the classroom. And they were just so incredibly excited. And I said to Ruth, like, "Did the training go okay? Like, you don't have to share any details." Like, and she said, immediately the girls said, "We know exactly what these are. We know exactly how to use them. And we were so thankful." They were just like jumping and shouting with sheer delight, because these hygiene kits were going to help them stay in school. Let's cut to the next slide. I just want to share, this is one of the bathrooms for the school that we're supporting through Readers to Leaders program. And I confess, you know, this is after 7 years of use itself, but this again is one of the tools that that allow kids to stay in school. They don't have to like walk far off the school grounds to use the bathroom, and they don't have to like expose themselves, right, which creates health and safety risks. But this is one of the flush toilets at the schools that we're supporting through our Readers to Leaders program. We'll cut to the last slide here. I just wanted to show you a classroom. So I know we have a couple of students in the house today, and I just want to say, you know, if you're in elementary school here in Brighton Schools, or if you're in high school in Brighton Schools, imagine going to class. It's 85 degrees, right? It's hot. It's humid. The sun is always shining. School starts at 7 a.m., which our high schoolers, you know, you're not far off from that. No air conditioning. None whatsoever. No textbooks, which some of you might be like rejoicing over that, right? Like you don't have to have any textbooks. Barely any chalk. It's all the teacher just teaching one lesson after another from 7 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I want to let you know, I looked at the attendance board that was posted on the side of the school. Not a single student had missed like any days of school. They had check marks every day. Why? Because in Liberia, education is the key that unlocks a door to a successful future. Graduating from high school, just like this one, these are high school students, is like graduating from college. It opens up all kinds of opportunities for kids to get jobs, high-paying jobs in Liberia. And so I just wanted to show you a picture of what a school looks like in Liberia as well. So thanks for taking a little travel log with me. I appreciate that. This is the Janice L. McLean School. This is a United Methodist school that we're supporting with Readers to Leaders. And I just want to say, some of you came to the coffee gathering that the youth put on while I was in Liberia. I saw pictures from halfway around the world, and some of you bought coffee and supported. So this little guy here is, he's in the third or fourth grade, I can't remember which. He's one of the students that's received one of the early Readers to Leaders scholarships, and he came up to me, and I gave him a quiz on the spot. I felt bad. It was like a pop quiz about letters and numbers and multiplication, and he aced it. He was so excited to share that he was learning in school and thankful to be there with one of the principals and one of the teachers of history on the right-hand side of the picture there. And yeah, like I said, thanks for allowing me to take you on a travel log, but I just wanted to show you that your dollars of support are making a huge difference overseas in our brothers and sisters in Liberia. And I want to let you know that they're praying for you. They're holding the entire United Methodist Church in their prayers. They kept asking me, how is your church? How do you like Brighton? How do you like Whitmore Lake? You know, and just know that our brothers and sisters there care, you know, about us as we care about them. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to roll up our sleeves and do good in the world. Amen. So as we gather for worship, we're in the midst of this sermon series about being made for mission. And over the course of my time in ministry, I've had a chance to visit a whole bunch of different kinds of churches. Maybe you have as well. Maybe you've been in churches that as soon as you walk in the door, you're very clear what the church is about. Like from the moment that they start welcoming people in, they say, we are on a mission to save souls for Jesus. We're going out and passing out gospel tracts, and we're out there pounding the pavement, telling people that they need to give their lives to Jesus Christ. And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's, you know, whatever, to each, you know, I'm glad that you're out evangelizing. Can you tell me, like, are you committed at all to the other things that Jesus talked about during his ministry, right? Like feeding hungry people, or giving water to people who are thirsty, or taking care of those that are sick, right? All of these wonderful, challenging words that Jesus has throughout Scripture when he says, I've come to preach recovery of sight to the blind and to set the captives free, to preach good news to the widows and the orphans, right? And they're like, nah, we're not so good at that, you know, they don't admit that, but that's not what their purpose or their focus is, right? Their focus is, their missional budget is actually spent creating like outreach materials that they pass out lavishly in the streets, which is okay, which is good, but there's this whole other part of Jesus's ministry that I want to say, like, where are you at on this? And then there are other churches that I think like really hang their hat on social outreach, and you're like, this is really cool. You're going into the jails. You're going into the retirement homes. You're serving people. You're playing bingo with folks who are lonely. You're giving out clothes to people who need them. You're giving out, you know, water to folks in Flint. This is really great. Like, why are you doing this? And they're like, we're not really sure. I don't know, you know, like we want to be good people in the world. And you're like, that's a great answer, but you're a church, you know, like, can you articulate a little bit more why you're engaged in this work? And I actually believe in the United Methodist Church, we actually hold together those two polarities. We're not really either or in those two churches. We sort of stand in the middle, and that, like, we're deeply rooted in a faith that compels us to go out into the world to make a difference in Jesus' name. We're rooted in the gospel, this stories of Jesus that tell us that this is who we should be, going out and giving people charity and support and love and kindness and compassion when they're struggling. But we're also, like, you know, at the same time, very rooted in this story, this gospel story, this story of Jesus. We want people to have a deep and abiding faith that leads them into spiritual disciplines that mold them and shape them as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're not either or. We're not, you know, convinced that one part is more important than the other. Instead, it's like both. We're committed to both of these acts of gospel sharing, of sharing God's love, and these works of mercy, piety, justice, inclusion, transformation. And that's who we are at the very core of our identity as United Methodists. I believe it's one of the reasons why I felt called to be a United Methodist pastor. A couple of my friends who also went into ministry in other directions, they have this deep-seated belief that at the end of times, whenever that is, whenever the universe comes to an end, it's going to end with a group of people who are in heaven, saved, happy, content, full stomachs, you know, everything that you can imagine. And then there's going to be the rest of creation, which has literally torn itself apart and is burning and filled with disease and tragic, right? And there's this deep-seated dichotomy between where we all end up. And I have always pushed back against that. To me, when I read the Gospels, one of the things that Jesus said a lot is the kingdom of heaven has come to you this day. Well, what does that look like? On one hand, you might say, like, well, that means God, that our faith has come to us this day. Like, suddenly we went from darkness to seeing and great full, you know, panoramic vision. Perhaps, like, that's what it means, that the kingdom of heaven has come to us this day, that our eyes were open, we were able to see God in all of God's glory. Or maybe the kingdom of heaven came this day because somebody was thirsty and they were handed a cup of water and they drank it and they were like, yes, if heaven is real, this is what it looks like. I was thirsty and I got something to drink. My prayers were answered. Good news has come to me this day. And I find myself thinking that, like, we as people of faith can't literally just say, like, if everything outside the walls of this church burned to the ground, we're okay because we've got a lifeboat and we're getting to heaven and everything's going to be just fine. No. I think God has called us to be about the ongoing redemptive work of all of creation. I think trips to Liberia matter just as much as every year when we collect gifts for children in the foster program here across Livingston County and we distribute them to those kids. I would say the kingdom of heaven has come to them this day. I hope that they would say that as well, that they're able to open up their gifts on Christmas morning and be like, yes, there's somebody out there that cares for us. I hope that every time we gather and we're sewing together the prayer quilts through Prayers and Squares, or we're sewing together for Days for Girls, that in some way we're participating in the ongoing transformation of the world. That's a big responsibility. That's a heavy load to carry. It's not always fun to have to care about folks in our community that are less fortunate to us, but I believe that we are made for mission. And this is what is most important to me. Some folks, maybe some of you who are gathered here today, you already know your purpose. You're like, this is what I do. This is my purpose in the world. This is why God put me here at this particular time. I've discovered what my spiritual gifts are. I know how God can use me. I know what my place is in the universe. And this, I'm going to keep working tirelessly until I accomplish that or God calls me to something else. Good. I'm grateful for that. Maybe some of you are like, I think I know what my purpose is. I've been using my gifts. I've been sort of like sharing in them. It feels pretty good. I'm not totally satisfied. I'm not there yet. And that's okay too. Maybe you're in a transitional season. And maybe some of you are sitting here going, I haven't found it yet. I don't know yet my place to serve. I don't necessarily know what my gifts are. And I'm here to tell you, you have gifts. I promise you that. Some folks are like, I'm actually just a high school math teacher. I really get spreadsheets. Like, I like sitting at a computer. I don't necessarily know how that translates into mission in any way, shape, or form. But I want to tell you a story about one of our own, Reverend Sue Patu, who came out of this congregation for years and years. She was a math teacher. And she was like, I feel this call into ministry. And I met Sue when we were studying at Garrett to become pastors. But Sue is from this church. And Sue, after graduating from Garrett, decided to take her gifts down to Cass Community Social Services, and she puts those spreadsheets to use. I've seen them, because she wakes up in the morning and immediately goes to the computer and calendars thousands of volunteers through Cass Community Social Services, because that was the gift that God gave her, spreadsheets, to coordinate volunteers. Some of you are great writers. You're good at encouraging people. You're great at patting people on the back. You're good cheerleaders. You're good encouragers. You have this deep gift of, you're like, I'm not going to be on the front lines. I just don't feel called to be there. But every time I hear about somebody doing a meaningful mission, I walk up to them and I just say, thank you for giving of your time and your talent and your energy. I hate to use military metaphors sometimes, but like, you're literally like the supply line that comes behind the front line that causes folks to be able to keep pushing forward in the pursuit of bringing the kingdom of heaven here to the world. Some of you are incredibly gifted in a particular craft or trade, and maybe you can use those gifts to raise money. Maybe at the end of each month, you come to the end of your budget, and you're like, I don't know how we've been able to save, but we were able to come to the end of this month, and we have extra resources left over, and I'm just looking for a place to make a difference in the world. That's a gift. Some of you have been incredibly shrewd in businesses, and you've developed them into strong companies, and you're able to say, like, I'm able to contribute to the mission that's going on around the world, and I know after coming back from Liberia, the dollars that we send over there are transforming people's lives in incredible ways. And I struggle every time I think to myself that $2.75, which even if you're not like, you know, incredibly wealthy, or even if you don't have a margin at the end of your month where you're able to say, I made more than I spent, like, if you were able to take $2.75 and buy, like, the off-brand of pasta, you know what I'm saying? And you were able to cook that one meal instead of buying Barilla or whatever, right? You're able to take that $2.75 and know that provided water for one person in Liberia. Maybe that's the unique gift that you have. But I believe as United Methodists, we're called not only to personal piety, to a life filled with faith, for growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ, but I also believe that we're called to social holiness, to transform the world, to find some place where the deep needs of the world and our unique spiritual gifts intersect, that's the place that God is calling us to, and it might be literally right outside the walls of our church. You don't have to go to Liberia. You might just be part of our youth group that put on this phenomenal coffee event when I was overseas. Maybe you'll take place in the road rally that's taking place in a couple of days, driving around Brighton looking in a scavenger hunt to try to find various things so that you too can raise money for scholarships in Liberia. But my hope is that by the end of the sermon series, just this week and next week, that you can spend maybe just a short period of time between now and next Sunday thinking, and maybe it's part of your prayer life where you just sort of open up your hands and say, God, where is it that you would call me to be right now? What is it that I care deeply about? Where are your people hurting? And I also want to say this, if you're like some folks in the room, and you're just like, Pastor John, I appreciated your message this morning, or maybe you didn't, like maybe it was just overwhelming, but maybe you're in a place where you just need a break, and you're like, my hands are full, I can't take on another project. I want to say that for me at the moment, I'm right there with you. When I was in Liberia, I went from place to place to place, and each place there was like a worthy cause that I could have given my entire life to. And one of the things that I think is really important that I try to tell the church members all the time is let your yeses be good yeses and your noes be good noes. Which is to say, sometimes you're not called to something, or maybe you're not called to it right now, and you're in a season where you're just like, I can't carry anything else, my arms are too heavy, and let it pass from you. But if you're sitting here today and you're like, I want to lean in, I want to build God's kingdom in some way, I want to make this world look a little bit more like God's kingdom, maybe it's just Earth Day, right, just having passed, I want to go up and clean up a portion of one of our interstates, I want to find some way to serve, about something that I feel deeply passionate about. I hope that some point during this sermon series you can find that thing. As I promise, your life will never be the same after it. When I first went into ministry, I never thought I would be involved with folks in Liberia. In fact, it was just totally happenstance. Somebody asked me the story in between services. They're like, how did you get connected in Liberia? And it was totally circumstantial. I was sitting in my office one day with a book of all the United Methodist missions, which I actually just want to print and hand out to all of you for a moment of pride about your church, all the work that gets done in the world. And I was reading through it, and we were in the middle of the Flint water crisis where people were getting sick from the water just up the street from here. And I remember sitting in my office thinking, man, we have all taken water for granted. We turn on our water every day. We expect it to be safe. We don't expect to get sick. We don't even think twice. And we do it every single day for showers, cooking, whatever. And I read in this article, this very brief paragraph, this dream that a guy had halfway around the world that he was going to provide clean and safe drinking water for his entire country. And I was like, man, I think I set goals for myself, but it's not like I want to provide water for my whole country. And I just thought, we in Michigan, we here probably in the United States, but particularly in Michigan, we have more than our fair share when it comes to water. Maybe we can do something for our brothers and sisters there. And who would have thought that little moment, right, sitting in my office going like, what should we do, would have led to what I see as one of my big areas of calling. And I hope you have that moment somewhere in your life where you know exactly where God's calling you to be, and that your life is never the same because of little moments like that where you realize that you too are made for mission. Thanks be to God. Amen. So at this point in the service, I want to invite you to join me in a time of prayer. And as we do that, I want to invite you to join me in praying. Join me in praying for Liatha, who's a sister of Debbie and John Guth, who's going to be receiving our prayer quilt that's hung on our wall over here. And we just want to encourage all of you to take a moment on your way out of the sanctuary to tie a knot and lift Liatha in your prayers as you exit the sanctuary today. And I invite you to join me in a time of prayer as we gather together. Gracious and loving God, we gather together on this Sunday morning asking your blessing on all of us. We ask you in some way that defies all of our understandings to meet us inside our hearts, inside our minds, to know us by name. As we gather here this morning, we lift up our brothers and sisters, particularly in Sudan, where once again in our world fighting has broken out and peace is no more. For the family members who've lost loved ones, for those who fear for their own safety as they go about their daily lives, we ask you to hold them in the palm of your hand. Where peace is a stranger around the world, we pray that you would sow reconciliation and hope. We pray for those in our own communities who don't feel comfortable or safe within their own hearts and minds. We pray for those in our families who are struggling with mental illness, and those who are dealing with the signs and symptoms of depression. We trust that even in our darkest moments, and our moments where it feels like the whole world is falling apart, where the hopes and dreams of our own future seem like they are fading away, we know that you are there with us. We read in Romans 8 that there's nothing in all of the world that can ever separate us from the love that you have for us in Jesus Christ. So even when it feels like the world is on fire, we know that you're walking with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And with you, God, we fear no evil. We pray for folks in our midst with whom we have conflict, for the deep-seated disagreements that lie within our society and in our country, for the moments in which those disagreements erupt over into arguments. We trust that you will also be with us as we sow seeds of reconciliation and grace and love, that we would be able to speak our truth, a truth rooted in the teachings of our faith, but do it in a way that transforms hearts and minds, that doesn't tear down but calls people up towards a deeper discipleship with you. And God, as we gather here as a church, we trust that even now there are folks halfway around the world that are worshiping you in congregations with the same cross and flame that Mark, United Methodist Churches. We're grateful for this global connection, for the ways in which you've made a massive world smaller by helping us to learn one another's names and stories. So help us to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, one brick at a time, one stitch at a time, one story at a time, one life at a time, one family at a time. And so now we pause in the midst of our daily lives for a moment of silent prayer as we come together in this time of silence. Now we join our voices together to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 We come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to God's good work in our midst. And one of the ways that we respond is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. I want to share with you that this is a special offering Sunday in the United Methodist Church. One of the special offering Sundays that we have is a Native American Ministry Sunday. And this Sunday, there are envelopes in the back. If you'd like to contribute to some of the Native American ministries we have here in the state of Michigan and across the connection, there are special envelopes in the back that you can do that. I wanted to share this other piece. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, when I was preaching about Jesus being on the cross, one of his seven last words on the cross was, I am thirsty. And right after the service, the following Monday in a staff meeting, I got a text message actually from two of our members that said that they wanted to contribute so that we could dig wells as a church in Liberia. And so one of the things that I did when I was there was be there at the groundbreaking for a new well just outside of a church in Liberia. And they just completed it the day that I left actually to come back here to the States. And I got to thinking, you know, that the offerings that we give, that the gifts that we share, they really do transform people's lives all around the world. It turns out that this year, our church, thanks be to God, will be a part of digging four wells in Liberia already because of the contributions that have come in through various members. And I can't thank you enough for your extravagant generosity that literally is giving life to people in Liberia, that's preventing them from getting sick or dying because of completely preventable diseases. So as our ushers come forward this morning, we invite you, if this is your spiritual home, to give generously so that we can continue to transform people's lives in Jesus' name, that we won't just be caught up on simply saving people's souls, which is important, but we'll also be involved in transforming the world in Jesus' name. Will the ushers please come forward and help us this morning with our offering? Amen.
All of you. All of you is more than enough for all of me. For every thirst and every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. You are my supply. You are my supply, my breath of life. Still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for. Still more awesome than I know. All of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than sacrifice. You're my sacrifice of greatest price. Still more awesome than I know. You're my coming King. You are everything. Still more awesome than I know. And all of you, more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than, more than all I want, more than all I need. You are more than enough for me, more than all I know, more than all I can see. You are more than enough, and all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirst and every need. You satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you, and all of you is more than enough for all of me. My supply. You are my supply.
Amen. Please stand. Here we go. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds that try to shake me. I will not be moved. Yeah, here we go. I can feel the waters rise. I can feel the flood of love that haunts me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rise. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let's bring it up. Above and beyond your way, I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. Clap with us. Yeah, here we go. I can see the morning light. I can feel the joy on the horizon. Here my faith is found. I stand on solid ground. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the water cover the earth, give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock.
All right, now we're going to clap even faster. Here we go, on Christ.
The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking. So stop and be and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking.
So stop your feet, clap your hands, feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking. Stop your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the water come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain.
Again.
When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the water come, let the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. I'll be dancing. My feet are on the rock.
Right, here we go.
My feet are on the rock.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in song and for giving us a reminder that our feet are on the rock and that we are grounded, that we are rooted in a faith that allows us to continue to move forward out into the world. As you go out into the world, I pray that you will go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Bridge.
love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.